Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Sujit DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Welcome back to the last ever episode of 2020 for the Azure Podcast. Today is December 22nd, and we are recording episode number 359 as a 2020 roundup. On Teams with me, in addition to myself, Cynthia, we have Sujit, Kale, and Evan, and they are all our special guests today. And before I get into the actual roundup, we have a couple updates to share as usual. Kale, do you want to start?
Yeah, if I can get my thing to come off mute here, I'll be good. A couple things. One is, kind of a theme here with the learning series, but there's a new series of shows. I guess it's called the Azure Enablement Show, which is a video podcast, I believe, which basically walks through, and it's a lot of content, right? So there's a lot of episodes up here talking about different kind of frameworks and how cloud adoption goes from like small and how you grow up, what are some of the enterprise scale issues you run into, governance, all the kind of, some people call boring, but things you need to do when you're migrating to the cloud. And then there's also another series called Azure Well Architected, which is pretty cool because it goes through like kind of architecture of different workloads, you know, gets into things like even like thinking about like workload reliability, cost optimization, all the different things, again, that are necessary when you're doing this kind of stuff in the cloud. So packed full of good info. It's a new series, so check it out. And the other one I had was, it's not really news, but it was something I kind of stumbled into. So do a lot of work with open source software with Microsoft. And, you know, there's actually, I didn't even realize it, but, if you go to GitHub/Azure, and we'll put the link in the link dump, you can see there's a couple thousand repos up there of everything. So when people say, hey, how does this work? Or I'm not sure how this thing, there seems to be a bug here or something. Well, right, here's the source, right? So obviously not everything's in there, right? It's in the cloud, but a majority of different product groups have open source projects out there, some of them even the core products. So I would encourage people, to explore there a little bit, especially on this time off with Christmas and things like that. For geeks like us who are into code, check it out. There's all kinds of cool stuff up there. You probably stumble into something that's super interesting.
I always find that stuff super useful to understand how something works, right? I was looking at something last night, and this is an internal, engagement. It's a customer's having a problem with purchasing reserved instances. I know nothing about that area, and they were getting an error message, and nobody could figure out why. And so I went and looked at the code and said, "Oh, this is where we throw it." So at least I've sort of narrowed down the problem space, right? I just think it's always fascinating to understand, what it is you're checking, and when we throw these scenarios, or what sort of the process is as something gets provisioned, right? All those kind of things you can learn from the source. Again, you're not going to know it, as well as the person that wrote it, but you get a sense of what are we checking, what are we looking at, what are the important things. Like, I think it's a great skill to use.
Yeah, and they also have all the issues which are logged over there. It's like a discussion forum. You can go back in time and say, okay, how did this design start, right? What was the initial, and then what were the comments that were made that caused it to morph into something different to the current design? So
yep. It's good to read that. Absolutely.
What, follow-up question on that. What do you all do when you look at something and you don't understand?
This is a great question. This is a great question, too, because I use this. Here's one thing I do. So if I am looking at something, and I'll pick on CosmoDB, let's say, or something, and then I go up there and I look in GitHub, and I still don't understand how that thing works. you can see who contributed to it, right? So you can use this as like a tracker. That's what I do. And I'll be like, oh, so Bob over here is the guy who was working on this last. So then I just start pinging Bob and I'll be like, hey, I got this question. Now, Bob might not know. He might be like, that's not my area. Glenn's the guy you got to talk to. But that's how I use it, as like a little tracker to like start to – it's like a breadcrumb trail. Like, okay, this guy touched it, so let me see who else touched it, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's – go ahead, Evan. Yeah,
I was just going to say, I mean, I think mine is similar, right? Because I'm not necessarily trying to recreate or know every piece of it. I'm trying to get a sense of how does it work so I can figure out where I should go next with it. Sometimes that's a person. Sometimes it's another service. Sometimes that's another, you know, section of the code. But it's still to the breadcrumb thing, right? Like Kale said, right? It's you're getting some hints so that you, instead of starting from zero, which is I know nothing, I don't know how this works, I don't know anything about this scenario, to at least I have some understanding, right? So that at least gives me some direction to go after.
You know, one of my tricks actually is I go back and look at episodes of the Azure podcast to see who talked about this last, right? Yep. Who was the last person who came on? And typically they're some sort of expert. And then I'll go and say, hey, remember you were on the Azure podcast? Well, I have this question for you. And then go
from there. Seriously, I've done the same thing. You know, it's awesome. You know, you'd be like, oh, digital twins? All right, I need to go talk to this guy. You know, like.
That's a weird. What about you, Cynthia? What are your, I mean, as a customer account manager, is that what's the correct title for you now?
I actually just switched roles. But yes, I was the customer success account manager, and I've definitely leveraged a lot of the people that came on the show to ask specific questions. Evan included, he's also helped me through some very
I don't remember that customer situations.
and for me, I actually do the same with documentation as well, where there's contributors on top of whoever.
Oh, I do that all the time as well. Yeah.
Contributions on GitHub, so that's also super helpful. I haven't really looked at any source code, but internally the Azure community is super helpful as well, where a bunch of people are really fast to answer questions in a sense that it's almost like hard to imagine how they would do that, but nevertheless really grateful there are people out there just trying to help everyone else.
And we're, you know, we have access to these people because we're at Microsoft. I'm just trying to think from our listeners' perspective, if they have a similar issue, they're stuck on something, they don't understand it, what are some of the ways they can, you know, can get access to some of this, these resources or this expertise? I guess, you know, you could always open up, an issue on the GitHub, absolutely. Right? Say like, oh, you know, this is not well documented or it's confusing or something like that. Well, I guess you could try and tweet about it. I don't know. Like, what are the other ways where
I think a lot of people are actually really active on Twitter, and they enjoy people tweeting. Well, maybe I shouldn't speak for everyone. It feels like some people enjoy the interaction on Twitter as a platform.
Yeah. Exactly. I think the community is a big part of what I see. Right. It's leveraging. You know, GitHub, Twitter, I mean, maybe there's Facebook somewhere, I don't know, as well. I did hear that that there are Azure discussions on Instagram as well, which is
what? A little shocking to me.
But I don't know. I'm not there. I heard this from somebody else when we did a survey. People wanted a presence from us on Instagram. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's sort of that evolution of what we used to – I mean, I'm old enough to remember bulletin boards, right? But, like, it's the evolution of, hey – I don't know everything. There's no way I'm going to know everything. There's this entire community of experts, right, out there, Microsoft, non-Microsoft, right, to leverage. And I think it's great to see people do that. Like, don't feel like, you know, they have to sort of get it just from the documentation, right, or just from what's out there, right? There's people that have learned things. And we'll never – there's this sort of interesting debate I have regularly with people saying – you know, well, this is, you know, such and such is, you know, is bad because it's not documented. I mean, I know a lot of the folks that write a bunch of this product documentation. They are trying really hard to get everything documented, but it's moving so fast. There's such a wide surface area and there's so many fringe scenarios that we're never going to have everything documented. Or even if we do, you know, it maybe is written in a way that you, as somebody who are not a, you know, an expert in that area, isn't going to necessarily grasp the words, right? They may be using terms that are sort of specific to the service or specific to that problem space. Leverage the community. Like, I love it when people, may regret this now, but send me emails or, you know, or send us tweets or, you know, or reach out and say, hey, I'm stuck here. Right. Well, what do you recommend? What do you know? Like, I'm always happy to help those folks, because typically if I unblock them, it's opening up more people behind them. Right. They're going to then share that answer. They're going to share what they know. And it's worth the small investment of my time.
Yeah. The other simple thing is, like, and this is going to sound like maybe like a jerk or something, but if you just bang it, you know, a lot of times. No, that'll get me to areas, right? Like Stack Overflow or something like that. Because there's a lot of stuff on like Stack Overflow and things like that. So for me, yeah. I don't usually specifically go to like one of those sites and start searching. Sometimes I do, but not really. Usually I'll just hit a search engine first and be like, I guarantee somebody ran into this, right? And then certainly there is, right? And then you start getting, again, the breadcrumbs of like, okay, I went here. And the other thing, what Evan was mentioning, the other cool thing is like, our documentation. So if you go up to like azure.com and then go into like a product, and then inside of there, there's docs, right? As Evan mentioned, and there's tutorials and all kinds of things around each product, but those things are all on GitHub, right? So if you didn't know that, you can basically go in there and like start a conversation, you open an issue, say, this doesn't work. I tried this tutorial. It doesn't work. And maybe you're doing something wrong, or maybe there's something broken, but it's another way to get back to those technical writers. You know, as Evan said, I think those guys are awesome, but it's like a lot, you know.
That actually raises one of my other pet peeves. Nothing drives me crazier than somebody who says, oh, this sample never works, or this has never worked, you know, or this doc is wrong. Like, I don't expect you to fix it, right? I absolutely, but file the GitHub issue, you know, put the feedback on the doc, email somebody or something, because everybody, I mean, otherwise everybody's going there and getting that wrong information, right? Again, I don't think anybody maliciously publishes something that's broken or incomplete. They just didn't realize it is, and they're more than happy to fix it if somebody points it out, right? So, like, if you know something's broken, tell somebody.
Yeah.
That's a good discussion.
And then going back to Evan's earlier point about, I don't think we're ever able to exhaust all the potential use cases. I think it's also because we don't do that introduces a lot of potential new use cases that we may not have ever thought about, because we're so focused on like, this is how we want this service to work.
It's how we think it's going to go, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Customers are creative, aren't they? Mm-hmm. They
that
really are.
Also opens like a lot of opportunities of what it could be when other people are thinking about it or other people are looking at it.
Yep.
Not to belabor this, but there is one other pet peeve I have with those is like, especially when new features come, like I'll pick on one, managed identities. Managed identities are amazing, awesome, like to be used, but they're not in everything, right? And you might spend hours or whatever I have, like trying to figure something out to say, why doesn't this work, and trying to debug it. And then you get to the point where it's like, oh yeah, it's not supported. And on some of our docs, it'll basically put one of those big note things there. And it says like, hey, by the way, this is not supported yet, or it only supports system versus user and these kind of things. So those are things like, to Evan's point, like if you run into those, like when I do, I definitely like give that feedback. Like, you need to put a note up there, because I guarantee somebody else is pounding their head against a wall right now. You know, like.
Yep. Yeah. I always say that in my experience, you know, generally customers or developers, they don't really care how they solve their business problem, right? They're not really vested in technology one versus technology two, or solution one versus solution two. It's, they just want to move on and get their problem solved so they can go on about their day and solve the next problem or go home to their family, right? So if you contribute that stuff, like, you're just unblocking somebody and giving them time back, right?
They're not, and the process is super easy. You know, I've done it 2 or 3 times now already with docs. You know, 2 or 3 days, they turn around and they have it all updated. It's all done through GitHub. It's tracked, everything. It's very open. Cool process.
Yep. No, agreed. There's that actually within my broader organization, within the CXP org, there's a team of folks who track those issues, right? They don't necessarily track the ones that every service owns, right? There's a set of areas that they watch and monitor. But the ones that they monitor, all those issues that come in, that's what that team does. Right. So we absolutely pay attention to that stuff. Same on Stack Overflow.
So So Evan, what are your highlights for Azure for 2020? Like, what are you, you know, if you were to break it down for us?
Well, So I was thinking about this. So two things. One, and normally I wouldn't say this, but I think it was a good milestone. I mean, as a team, we hit our fifth year, right? Or I'm sorry, no, our seventh year doing this. We continue more episodes. Very, very much appreciate the audience, right? Continuing to stick with us and listen as we've grown and learned. I was looking for something that I had heard one of our early podcasts. We've definitely gotten better over the years.
I need to go listen to all's earlier episodes and earlier episodes.
No, you don't. But the other thing, I mean, from a technical perspective, the part that I'm like, because again, I've been in this space for a long time. Like, the thing that's super cool to me is I got to go with like the satellite stuff, right? The fact that there's an interaction between, you know, I mean, it makes sense when you think about it, but like the fact that Azure has grown and matured to the point that there's that interaction. And you know, there's these capabilities to, you know, interact with satellites and whatnot. Like, that's just cool, right? I mean, I think that's really, really cool. So, I mean, what about you? What do you, when you think back on 2020, what's the sort of thing you think about?
I think for me, the coolest was more integration across all three of our clouds. Because I know this is the Azure podcast, but especially with our chat with Corey that will be published next year, he did mention a lot about cross-solution. And there is more momentum around, for instance, like, how do we use Part Platform along with Azure?
Right.
And I think there's a lot of fun and exciting opportunities there, because now we're not only talking to professional developers, we're also talking to business users that do things that are very different than what a lot of us do every day. And getting their perspective and also empowering them to be able to build things that work for them, while the professional developers can support kind of on the more code heavy side and build connectors so that like both worlds actually can now merge into one. So I'm really excited about what that will turn into, and curious to really know like what some people have done with it already.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, I was actually working on an internal project, and it sort of shocks me in some way. There is not a single line of code that I have written. It's an ETL type job, and the automation that we do with it to make sure this happens all the time, it's all Power Automate. You know, it's going into Azure Data Explorer and getting data. It's going into this other location and getting data, and then it's dumping it all in one central place. Not a single line of code. Right. In a traditional sense, then as an someone who was a developer and supported developers, I think you're absolutely right. Like, that's the evolution of the industry in this scenario, where if you don't need to write code, why would you write code? That's just code you have to maintain.
And I don't think the essence of writing code goes away, because it's still building blocks of logic. Yeah. And absolutely. How do you solve a problem breaking down into smaller pieces? But now there are more tools and more ways to achieve the same goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. And what about you, Kel? What's been your highlight for the year from an Azure or even the podcast perspective?
From an Azure perspective, I think the thing that excites me the most, or the thing that I like seeing evolve the most in 2020, is confidential compute. We had, you know, Vikas and others on the podcast talking about this, but I still feel like it's not getting enough press. I think it's the future, because, you know, having data encrypted all the time, not just at rest or in flight or those kind of things, like while it's being processed, like under, you know, in compute, is like foundational. Like, I feel like that's like huge, and I feel like it's just going to be pervasive, and probably in 2021 or beyond, we just won't be talking about it because it'll just be there, right? Like electricity. Yeah. And so that's what excites me about that. But even beyond that is like the geeky technical stuff with it, like what we can do with it, we have to mention blockchain on every podcast. So blockchain uses this quite a bit, right?
I was going to say, I know the moment you mentioned confidential computer, is like, I know where Kayla's going with this conversation.
I thought he was too. I'm thrilled that he went the encryption route. But yeah.
The number one use case for confidential computer is blockchain. So I know.
No, I don't think that's the case, but it definitely is a use case. Like, I think it's awesome. And the stuff we're working on with it, I think is super cool. But like, I think it's broader than that. I think it's just like, hey, when I fire up a VM, it'll just be there, right? That's where I see that going, and that's exciting, you know.
Awesome, Cynthia.
CB, what about you?
Oh, okay, I can go. Thanks. From 2020 perspective, I like to kind of break it down into three, right? The good, the bad, and the ugly. So I'll start with the ugly, which was very ugly for me. I think was the AAD outage, the Azure AD outage that we had. I know Evan's like, oh yeah, you know, but the reason that was ugly is because of the global nature of AAD, right? That's one of those services that we all take for granted. It's like water or electricity, we take it for granted until it's not there, and then we don't know what to do. And so the problem with AAD is such a backing service for everything. The moment AAD starts breaking down, a lot of kind of funky things happen, you know, in unexpected places. And so it was ugly, but it was also a wake up call from a number of enterprises to make sure that they do have contingency plans against something like this, right? We take a lot of things for granted in Azure, but you know, we all focus on regional outages and whatnot, and we have backup plans. But when AAD happens, it's all over the world sometimes, and there's nothing you can do, right? There's nothing to fall back on. And so that comes under the ugly category. And the bad category, similar, we had an outage with Application Insights. Application Insights, again, it's something that we all depend on, and it's a global service. So there's no, you can't say you want Application Insights in a particular region. I think it's just like one endpoint that you get. You can have two Application Insights accounts if you want to, and then, you know, write to both of them, I suppose. You could do that. That's something that the application has to do. So that's something that, you know, we've had to learn and understand how to work around that, those kind of outages.
Sajid, on that one, so from my perspective, like App Insights, and this, maybe this is just a naive, you know, perspective, but like, I feel like that's not critical, right? I mean, it is critical, obviously, to get logs and things like that. But if it goes down, like, my app's not down, right?
It's not. Yeah, that's why I put it in the bad category.
Don't know if your app's down.
Yeah. That's a good point, because a lot of alerts are triggered off of AI messages, and you don't get the alerts right now. That's an excellent point that Evan's bringing. So, but it is, you're right. It's not like your system is not down at this point in time, at least hopefully, right? If everything else is working, the system is working, you're just not seeing logs, right? So it's not as bad. But then there was a lot of good that came out of this year, right? I think speaking for a little bit for Kendall right now, but you know, AKS, I think, has really matured. It's come around. It's become the enterprise system that we all knew it would become. And to that point, we now have GPU-enabled nodes in AKS, which is amazing. We have those confidential compute nodes that Kale was just talking about, in AKS. It's got all this compliance now with SOC, PCI, DSS, everything. So, you know, for me, from my perspective, that kind of does it for AKS, right? It's here. It's legitimate. Everybody should be looking at it if you're not already looking at AKS. Kind of on the flip side of that, though, what I, with AKS, I found out is that it's also a complicated service to really make it a enterprise system, because there's operational aspects, there's development aspects, there's monitoring aspects. All of these things are complicated with AKS. And one thing that I really liked in our new service that we offered, the Azure Spring Cloud, it really made all of that easy, right? Azure Spring Cloud actually is a layer on top of AKS that makes you deploying your Spring Cloud applications or Spring Boot applications a lot easier. You just have to throw the jar at it and it runs, right? You don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about all the other boilerplate code that you typically would have to do with the Spring Cloud application. So I think that's the next evolution I see going into 2021, especially, is that things like Spring Cloud are going to become more and more important. People are going to realize that, hey, you know, all of this stuff that boilerplate stuff that had to do with Spring Cloud, with AKS, I don't have to do it, right? It's all given for me. I just have to bring my app and it runs. And so I think that's something I'm looking forward to, and I'm really impressed with the way Azure is going in that regard. And the highlight and also my best episode for the year was our discussion with Corey, which is yet to be published. So looking forward to hearing that next year. Thanks, Cynthia, for bringing Corey on the show.
Is there like a .NET version of Azure Spring Cloud?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. It's called .NET Steel Toe. Okay, is the word.
Steel toe.
So if you, it's relatively new, but it has, it's a framework, right? So you can write a steel toe application, and you can run that application on your laptop, in Docker, or anywhere else. But all the support for it is also available in Azure Spring Cloud. So you can bring your steel toe DLL, I suppose, assembly. I don't know what the packaging mechanism, maybe it's a zip file. You just throw it at Spring Cloud and it'll run. It's a good question.
Is there a reason for Spring Boot and Steel Toe? Like, why are we?
So Spring Boot has been around for 20 years, right? That's a framework that we've had for 20 years. So, you know, there's a lot of code that's out there. But .NET version of Spring Boot.
I should say, why are they all like shoe related?
That's a good question. I don't know, maybe because you always, you know, kick the tires and hurt yourself. I'm not sure what the metaphor is over there.
When you first said steel toe, the first thing I thought about is like, oh, it's there to protect you, right? So you don't like, that's what steel toed boots are for, right? So you don't smash your toes, right? So it's like,
that's right. Maybe
that's the thing they're going after. I don't know.
And Spring Boot is what? When you kick something, your boot just springs right back? I don't know. Like, what's that supposed to mean?
I don't know. I think there was Spring before Spring Boot, wasn't there? Or I don't know. You know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So those are my kind of highlights for this year.
Yes.
Cynthia, what about yours?
Oh, I shared the one about the part platform and the integrations. But I think for me, it's just been another great year of learning that because there's so many coming out all the time, each episode really helps me and hopefully help our listeners as well to get a taste of what each service is like and what it does at its core, because I think just it's difficult to start without knowing where to start. Yes, there are a lot of documentation, but I can't just go out and decide, oh, I want to read about Spring Cloud today if I didn't know about Spring Cloud. So for me, like, this has been really helpful to at least get pointers of like, oh, this is cool. I should go read about it or do some tinkering around with it.
Yeah, another thing I've kind of been impressed about this year, at least from Microsoft perspective, is that although we had a challenging year with the pandemic and everything, it doesn't seem like at the end of the year we missed a beat, right? All the discussions we've been having all year, we've pumped out all the episodes, you know, we've produced all the products, we've done all the services. It seems like, you know, we've managed to keep a good steady set of business along the year. So, you know, I think it's a good testament to our commitment to all of this stuff. So thanks to all of you guys for sticking with the show throughout the year, managing through all of that and still coming out with all the episodes and everything. Yeah, it's been a great team effort.
Yeah, it's good to hear Cynthia say like the podcast is good to like whet your appetite or introduce you to things that maybe you didn't know about. Because Sajid, if you remember, like way, way back, and it's probably even in our first episode, that's the point. Right. That's the point of this podcast, is not to make you an expert in one of these products. It's to introduce you to something that you're like, oh, I didn't even know that existed. Great. I can probably use that with my customer or with this partner I'm working with. So
that's right.
It's gratifying to hear that it's actually being used for that. You know,
absolutely.
And it's awesome when we have experts come talk about the individual services, because they're able to boil it down to such simple terms that sometimes like it's difficult to just understand through reading for the first time. When they give analogies, when they just break it down to like think about X, or one example I can think about is the identity episode we have for what is it, universal identity?
Decentralized ID?
Yes. Like, the whole school thing is like, oh, it all made sense afterwards, after his little anecdotes and stories that helped me a lot.
And yeah, I think it's also like what Sajid was mentioning, like right now, like Kubernetes is very popular, right? And I think it's awesome, right? It's a great orchestration platform, but it's very easy when something's super popular to like use it as a hammer. So it's like, what about ACI? Like, how does container instances fit with this? What could I do? What if I have a lighter weight thing and I want to use it with this thing? What are my options? You know, so like exploring all those things and having at least some broad knowledge about that is good, right? Because otherwise it becomes like, just sprinkle some AKS on it, we're good to go. Or sprinkle some confidential computer on it, we're good to go. You know, like, it's like, no, that's not it. You know, like,
sprinkle some DevOps on it. Everyone will be good to go.
Yeah.
And I feel bad. It is an anchor that talked about verifiable identity.
Yep.
Listen, there, before we go, what's your new role?
My new role is a program manager within our customer success unit, helping drive the technical strategy within hybrid and serverless space.
Wow.
That is about the extent I know. I'm still learning.
Congratulations. So. That's awesome. Really amazing. Great. You deserve that title and that position. I know that.
Nice. Congrats.
Thank you. And really call out to our customers, I think, not our customers, oh my God, to our listeners. What are some things that you all enjoyed? And what are some things you all look forward to in 2021? I think that's definitely an area that we'd like to hear from all of you for, and share holiday pictures with us if you feel comfortable doing that. We'd love to see how you're doing 2020, how you're celebrating the end of 2020, because we all need to do that. And hopefully 2021 is a lot better than 2020.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I think that's pretty much a wrap for the show. Thanks for all the comments, feedback. Been a great year, and looking forward to next year.
Happy holidays.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.